Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Big hello to everybody. Hey, we've gotten some milder weather here in the Midwest, a little rain today. We've been on a big drought. The day was absolutely beautiful. And I want to wish everyone a happy, happy Labor Day holiday as we get ready for the fall and the winter months. Don't forget, we're here every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Larry Batson's Wild World. We have a bunch of fantastic guests booked in the next few weeks ahead, so we hope you have the opportunity not only to tune in live, but also go to the Blog Talk Radio website. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson. And you can listen to any of the old shows that we've recorded over the last year. We've almost been on a year. It's hard to believe. And go into the archives. And also, while you're at it, become a favorite. And that would be fantastic. We really appreciate it. As always, manning the technical portion of our program from the mountains of Pennsylvania, Eric Altman's here tonight. He'll be manning the chat room and the calls and whatever. I don't know if we'll take calls tonight. I think this is going to be, we might. This is going to be a pretty fun hour. Our guest tonight is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He'll be along just a little bit. But because this is the start of the NFL season, in fact, someone asked me, they said, you know, Larry Batson's Wild World usually have something to do with the natural world. Well, with the start of the NFL season, just, gosh, a week and a half away, and God, there's more wildlife in that NFL, wild animals than any national park, that we thought it would be absolutely perfect to have what I would call North America's greatest sports fan with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a little bit, Mark Chestnut. And folks, you're not going to believe the schedule this man undertakes. He told me how many events he's gone to. It's well over 2,000. It's probably close to 3,000 in person. NBA, NFL, golf, hockey, you name it. And he'll be along just a little bit, and this is going to be a fantastic hour. In fact, we might even ask him with the first week of the NFL just around the corner. I have all the games right here in front of me. In fact, my email provider, peoplepc.com, they have a contest that you can actually pick NFL games. And my understanding is that if you pick everyone correctly, that you will actually get a free month of service of People PC Online. So that's pretty exciting. So we'll be going over those games with Mark and talking about his adventures on the flying all across North America, visiting these various cities, seeing all these NFL and NBA and NHL teams and Major League Baseball. It's going to be a great hour. As always, manning the Wild World News Desk, the distinguished, honorable Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson.
Well, it's nice to have you along tonight. Boy, we've got a little reprieve in this weather. This is quite pleasant.
Oh, I know.
It's like...
quite delightful.
And I think this has been one of the driest months in the Midwest. I think they said this has been the driest August we've ever experienced in Indiana.
I believe so. As far as the Farmer's Almanac is concerned, yeah, this is the driest ever.
Yeah, the only advantage is you don't have to mow the grass very often, so because it's all dead.
We just got a sprinkle of rain here in Indianapolis. We haven't had any true rain yet, so we're still hoping.
I actually had drops hit my face this afternoon while we were... Now, picture this, folks. I wish I would have taken video. Man, this would have been a YouTube hit. I should have... maybe we'll do it tomorrow. But my wife, Cheryl, and I were out picking weeds with the baby baboon, and it was picking weeds with us, and it was absolutely hilarious. Because once it figured out by watching us what we were doing and what was involved with this task, it jumped in with all... The only problem is it not only picks weeds, but it picks roses and all the things it should leave in the ground. did a pretty good job in it. But I tell you what, on an entertainment scale, a doctorate, it was a 10.
Maybe you should bring her here. Bring her to my house.
Oh, my Lord.
The grass is dead, but there are a few weeds here and there.
Well, that's the only thing that grows in this drought. I'm telling you, it's the weeds. So they're easy to spot, that's for sure. We want to remind everyone. I'm sorry.
Are you getting ready to start your school shows?
Oh, no, about a month away still. We start the very first of October. Okay. See, here's the deal, Doctor. I know you've been you've done several things, and education has been one of them, but it takes approximately 5 to 6 weeks to get the children back under control after they've been with their parents all summer. And it's kind of like Christmas vacation. It takes about a week for the teachers and the administrators to get the kids back in line after they've been with their parents all 2 weeks for Christmas vacation. So we'll start the school shows here soon. We're going to get ready to start we go to NCTC in Shepherdstown, West Virginia in October for our open house shows there. So all the folks in that part of the country, hope you have a chance to come over on that Saturday, which is 21st, I think, the fourth Saturday of the month of October. But we'll be there, and it'll be exciting, and we'll see all of our friends that we've had on the show in the past. And it's a great week, absolutely outstanding. So we want to remind everyone that the Wild World News presented by Dr. Henry Day is underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. If you're in the middle of producing a film, or you want to produce a film, commercial film, wedding, doesn't matter. Jet Kaiser's your man. It's all HD. He'll travel anywhere in the world. In fact, he just went on he went and filmed a great big multi-million-dollar wedding in Baltimore here last week. So he's something else. Here's his website, jetkaiserfilms.com, and he's the underwriter of the Wild World News with Dr. Henry Day. What have you got for us tonight, Doctor?
Well, we're going everywhere tonight, but we're going to start out in Portland, Oregon. The Oregon Zoo will open a new exhibit Friday for orangutans and white-cheeked gibbons called the Red Ape Reserve. The officials said the exhibit will give the orangutans an opportunity to experience a more natural environment with 10,000 tourists a day.
There you go. It'd be pretty cool.
And I'm sure that's more entertaining. That's more entertaining to them than it is for the tourists.
Yeah, that's cool. And it doesn't, you know, don't underestimate the intelligence of a great ape. I mean, believe me, it's a truly inspirational thing for them, but they don't think they're back in the jungle.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Montio, North Carolina. The 2010 breeding season has broken records for the rare sea turtles and birds along the Cape Hatteras natural shoreline, which has restricted off-road vehicles and nesting areas since 2008. The National Park Service said 147 sea turtle nests have been recorded, as well as a record number of piping plover and oyster catcher chicks, surviving long enough to fly.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So even,
go ahead.
Even due to all of the, everything, the oil, everything in the environment, we're still doing pretty good, actually.
Well, we are. You know, this planet's going to be around. You know, they're talking about destroying the planet. The planet's going to be here.
Right.
That's what we're going to destroy. That's the sad truth of it all. That's the dinosaurs.
All right. Royal Oak, Michigan. The Detroit Zoo will soon be showing off a rare iguana that was found scurrying across the loading dock at a Ford motor transmission plant in Sterling Heights in July. Yeah.
Cool.
The Yucatan spiny-tailed iguana, believed to have been a stowaway in a shipment of auto parts from Mexico, can only be found in a 1,200-mile range of the Yucatan Peninsula.
Wow.
All right, I'd like a muffler for a 1964 Ford Falcon and a spiny-tailed iguana.
Can you see this at this moment when they undid that crate and out sprang this lizard? And one of the mechanics,
hold
hold on. There goes a Yucatan spiny iguana heading across.
Yeah. I'd have been pretty excited.
Well, you know, that happened in the, it's happened in, before, but a lot of the plants and things that are brought in from South America and Central America that, you know, are sold in greenhouses all across the country. Now, they check much closer, but I can remember in the 70s that it wasn't usual to have pit vipers that would accidentally be in the plants that were shipped over, you know, tarantulas, things like that. So it doesn't surprise me.
Yep, those were the good old days.
They were.
Yeah, we used to, I worked with an exhibit company, and we used to get a lot of flowers shipped in. We were involved with Irish Flower Shop downtown Indianapolis, and you'd find a lot of the Florida knolls, little corn snakes, virtually anything.
Yep.
Spiders, all kinds of stuff would come in. But,
yep.
You know, you don't get that kind of fun stuff anymore.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let's run off to a restaurant in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. A rare orange and black calico lobster is being held there. Larry and Crystal Dunn of Sacco, the Sacco company, said that they caught this lobster, and it's pretty rare. The only rarer type of lobster is the albinos. And they've got it in a tank in the restaurant with a big sign on it that says, not the cookie.
Was that the same lobster that was caught weeks ago that there was so much hubbub about?
No, this is a new lobster.
Mm.
But that lobster is still alive and doing well.
Well, good. Very rare.
Yes. Okay, let's run off to a...
2 weeks.
Yeah, lucky for him.
Yeah.
All right, Olympia, Washington. The Washington Department of Corrections said that it is getting money from the Oregon Zoo to help rehabilitate an endangered species of frog, once commonly found in Puget Sound. The Cedar Creek Correction Center in Thurston County is getting $5,000 from the zoo to raise crickets for the frogs to eat.
Well,
$5,000 for crickets.
Well, that's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
You know, That was a correctional center, correct?
Right.
Correctional center, correct. That sort of thing has been done. I know that one correction center, I'm thinking it was in New York, that they were actually rehabilitating birds of prey, and the prisoners would get involved with that, whether they were injured or just had to be rehabilitated. And they found that, gosh, these gentlemen that were, I don't know how you want to put it, it would mellow them out working with these animals. So maybe that's very similar to what's happening with them raising crickets. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue. The only thing I know is Mark Chesna's on tonight. It's going to be great.
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets. Yeah.
All right, Pensacola, Florida, the Fish and Wildlife Commission will consider opening the snook season in some areas during a regular meeting today at Pensacola Beach. In the normal years, September 1st is the start of the snook season, but due to a major January freeze, which killed several thousand fish due to, you know, uncommonly cold waters in Florida last year, the snook have been scarce.
Really?
But
that's a popular fish
cutting,
to fish for.
Yeah.
Very popular.
The snook now, the snook is an important game fish there in Florida. So it's good they're coming back around. All right, Bay City, Michigan. The Department of Natural Resources and Environment said a budget constraints have halted plans to display the last known wild wolverine in the state, which was found dead in a Midden City state game area in March. The state decided that the wolverine should be part of a traveling display, but the taxidermy case and the diorama would cost up to $15,000.
I'd like to put a little wager on this, that is not the last wolverine in Michigan, because how would they know?
Well, I'm going to have to agree with you.
They're so ridiculous.
That, yeah, that's...
I mean...
Yeah, that's just a... That's a silly thing to say.
I totally agree.
All right, let's go here locally. September 25th this month, we're having a Walk for Wolves. Now, a few weeks ago, we reported on the Wolf Park in Battleground, Indiana.
Right.
And if you would like to help support the Wolf Park's work in educating the public about wolves, they have an annual fundraiser, which will be September 25th. And the registered participants will receive a Walk for Wolves t-shirt and a decal. And if you would be interested in that, you can go to www.wolfpark.org and become this part of this Walk for Wolves, which is very important.
When is that event again?
September 25th.
Oh, September 25th. I know Dr. Klinghammer. Boy, I'm ashamed of myself. I haven't asked him to be on the program. And I was just looking. We don't have any openings in September, but we'll have him on the show, definitely. I'm sure he'd be more than happy to abide us with a few moments of his time and be a part of our program.
So all right. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's run off to Florida for our last story tonight. Is a Murata, Florida, weekend traffic stops throughout the Keys turned up a cachet of shark meat, sailfish, and whole lobsters. Police, immigration officers, and federal drug agents set up a checkpoint along U.S. 1, which runs through the Keys. Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission agents said that two trucks stopped at one checkpoint had held 300 pounds of shark meat, two sailfish, and $5,000 worth of lobster.
Wow. That's a lot of lobsters. A lot of lobsters.
Well, I'm glad to see they're doing their job.
Well, absolutely. But it's almost like the drug trade. You know, they find one, but how many got through?
Right. Well, see that. Now that's just the road traffic, and you've got those.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, since we've finished up with a little fish story, I want to tell all the fishermen out there, all the anglers, that in September, the best fishing days, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac, are from the 8th to the 23rd, when the moon is between new and full.
8th to the 23rd. That's when you need to go fishing.
And that's the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Well,
and they've been
right, doing
it for over 300 years, so
that's right.
You know they got to be right.
Well, absolutely. You can.
But the best time to go fishing is when you get time off to go. So
that's the best time.
Exactly.
We want to very good. We want to thank Dr. Henry Day for the Wild World News, and also thank the underwriter JetKaiserFilms.com. We'd also like to thank all of our underwriters that make this show possible, such as We Want You Cottages, way up Chautauqua Lake, New York. Peter and Kathy Weimer, the Weimers, they have a great resort up there. It's just a few more days open, but here's the most important thing. They have a fantastic website with a thing called iKids Fishing, where youngsters can download pictures of the big fish that they caught and compare them to young anglers all across the country. That's at wewantchu.com, wewanchu.com. And if you want to plan a trip up to the western part of New York to get into those muskies and smallmouth and walleye, give them a call at 716-789-3383. Also, a big thank you to McGregor Mountain Lodge in scenic and beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. In fact, next week, Michael Hodges, commonly known in that area as Smudge, is going to be our guest, and we're going to talk about some of his mountaineering adventures in the Rocky Mountains there in Rocky Mountain National Park. And McGregor Mountain Lodge is right on the edge of Rocky Mountain. I mean, folks, If you rent a lodge or a cabin, you may have bighorn and elk right behind your property. It's a fantastic. This is God's country. Their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com, or give them a call on that 800 number, 1-800-835-8439. If you're looking for warmer weather, of course, in January and February, we will. Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. They cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline, and I'm talking big fish here, folks. So if you love to go fishing, man, they'll fix you up with your guides, your lodging, Here's their website, SanteeCooperCountry.org, or give the girls a call. They man the Chamber of Commerce booth, or the Santee Cooper Country Tourism booth, I should say, there in Santee, South Carolina. And they'll do it for you. They'll arrange your fishing guide, your lodging, everything up there where to go eat. If you're a golfer, they've got the golf courses down there. It's fantastic. And that number is 1-800-227-8510. And a big thank you to Santee Cooper Country. As many of you know that listen to the show on a regular basis, we do a lot with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and one of the events that we attend every year is the open house at the National Conservation Training Center in beautiful Shepherdstown, West Virginia, and that'll be happening the fourth Saturday in the month of October. We'll be there with our animals. We've had several guests on the show, but one of the guests that is employed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, well, it's my darn show. What can I say? People say this has nothing to do with wild animals, and as I mentioned earlier, there's more wild animals in the NFL than probably any national park. But anyway, so with the start of the NFL season just about a week and a half away, I would consider this, folks, North America's greatest sports fan. From Shepherdstown, oh, really, I should say from the state of Georgia. He just works in West Virginia. My good friend, buddy, Mark Chesney. Good evening, Mark.
Good. How you doing, Larry? Good to be here. I'm from Wisconsin, though, just to let you know that.
You're from, oh, well.
I was in Wisconsin's hometown.
Oh, well,
pardon?
Of course, I should have known that because you are,
yeah,
number one Brett.
From Wisconsin, working in West Virginia, but I currently live in Georgia, so there you go.
Yeah. That makes it. So you go home every week. Well, I know you don't go home every weekend. You go to football games.
Well, I try to go home at least 3 out of every 4 weekends a month because otherwise I don't get a chance to see my wife very often. But I do get to go to a lot of games because of she works for the airline, so I'm able to fly pretty much free. It's a standby basis, and that's how I'm able to go to all the games that I go to.
Well, to warm us up tonight, I know you have it right there in front of you, your calendar of events that you're going to attend in the next couple of months. And with the start of the NFL season here a week and a half away, I believe the Minnesota-New Orleans game, are you going to go to that?
No, I'm not going to that one, but I will see the Vikings 3 times this year as well as the Packers 3 times this year. The trick is I grew up a Packer fan, so I usually follow the Packers as much as possible, but becoming a Packer fan, I've really grown to love and enjoy watching Brett Favre play. So when they had the whole scenario go down between Favre and the Packers, I had a hard time. I know a lot of my friends who are Packer fans kind of disowned me for this, but I just, you know, of all the athletes I've ever seen play and all the games I've ever been to, my all-time favorite by far has been Favre. So even though he went to the Jets for a year and, he ended up with the Vikings, you know, I know he can still do it. I mean, he's one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league statistically still. So I have a hard time not rooting for Favre. I can't be a Viking fan, being a Packer fan, in my life because it's almost sacrilegious. It's like Michigan, Ohio State rooting for the same team, but I can't root against Brett either. So I'm going to see a little bit of each. I'm going to see them play each other in Lambeau for the second time. I went last year to Brett's Return Part 1, and I'm going to go again this year to Brett's Return Part 2. So that's one of the games I'm really excited about for this season coming up. But I'll also see a couple more Packer games. I'm going to see them in Washington when they come to me, in Atlanta when they come to me. And I'm going to go to Minnesota and see the Vikings at home. And I'm going to do it on a Sunday when the Packers are playing on a Monday, so there's no conflict there. And I'll see the Gophers the day before. And the other Viking game I'm trying to go to is the one up in the Jet Stadium, because if I can see that game, it'll be the 43rd stadium that I've seen Favre play in, and I'm trying to see all the stadiums, but I'd like to see Favre playing as many as possible. Being an AFC stadium is going to be the only time he ever plays in that stadium. So I'm also going to see Pittsburgh at home against New England. This weekend I'm going to try to see North Carolina at LSU and Georgia and come back up here for the Boise State, Virginia Tech game. Everything else is kind of up in the air. It's my wife works for the airlines, and every once in a while, like last year, I just would look at the early games, and she'd go work overtime on a Saturday, so I'd get on a plane and fly up to Raleigh for an NC State game, or Nashville for Vanderbilt and Michigan, and then I would just watch the game, go back to the airport, fly home, and she'd pick me up on the way home from work, and we'd go home and eat supper. So a lot of times I do go home for the weekend, but I still get a game in. So.
So,
does that answer your question?
No, that's all it does. So what do you have? Did you go through all that you have scheduled? Let's say the season starts next week. Well, what's your itinerary?
Well, let's see. The first weekend I know all for sure. I mean, and some things pop up last minute, but the ones I know all for sure is in September I'm going to see Well, I think September 1 in Minneapolis, where I'm going to see the Gophers play on Saturday and the Vikings on Sunday. These are the sure thing ones. Now, the other ones I'm sure will pop up. There's a week in October when the Packers are in Washington, so I got a buddy coming out from Minnesota who has tickets to Lambeau that we go to games together every year with. And actually another friend of mine from Montana is coming out for that same game. So we're going to go to Penn State on Saturday, the Packers and Redskins on Sunday, and then that Monday night is the Jets game. And then a couple weeks later is the Packers and Vikings at Lambeau Field. That's the weekend of the open house that you're talking about up here.
Right.
I've got New England at Pittsburgh on November 14th, and Packers at Atlanta on Thanksgiving weekend. Those are the only ones that are for sure, but every year there's always a couple more that fall in, especially college-wise. West Virginia's got a Thursday night game, and that's only a 2.5-hour drive from here, so I'll see West Virginia, I believe it's against South Florida. I'm not sure about that, but so like I say, sometimes I just have to see where the flights are going and which one's got open. I have to fly standby. So a lot of times I just have to say, okay, my wife will tell me on Friday night, well, there's seats to Miami tonight, so I'll go down and see the Hurricane play. But the trick is I'm trying to see as many different stadiums as possible. I don't really go back to many stadiums twice, except for Lambeau. I go every year. And I do a lot of local ones. Like, you know, when I'm in Atlanta, I'll see the Falcons. They're up here. I'll see the Redskins and the Ravens. And I usually do a Steeler game every year because I always win a bet from my security guard, and he always pays me off. Instead of money, he pays me off the Cedar ticket. So, but I always try to find a game when they're not conflicting with a Packer game, and the one I'm going to is a Sunday night game against New England. So those are the ones I know for sure, but I know there will be other ones that will happen that I just don't know of yet.
So what's the atmosphere like in Lambeau Field on the night of a Packer game, huh?
And I'm biased. I know I'll say this, I'm biased because I grew up a Packer fan, but what's happened to sports, is, and especially football, all the stadiums have become corporate stadiums. You know, the Redskins stadium's all corporate, and the Ravens stadium's all corporate, and Dallas is all corporate. And because of the salary cap, and because they can only make money, they share the money off of TV, the only way the teams can make extra money is by selling those skyboxes. So these stadiums have become corporate stadiums. At Lambeau Field, even though they have built the skyboxes around the stadium, they've left the field and the other bleacher seats and everything else the same. So it's like going to a game 50 years ago, and there's no other stadium in football that's like that. And I know I'm kind of biased because of the being a Packers fan, but as far as the stadium is concerned, there's nothing like Lambeau. Now, Pittsburgh, I will admit, is the closest because their fans are like Pittsburgh, like Green Bay fans. You walk through a parking lot in Pittsburgh, and you've got a Packer jersey on, and they're all tailgating, they're all drinking beer, and they've all got their own bands they've rented and outhouses, and that's how it is in Green Bay. But a Pittsburgh fan, you walk through with a Packer jersey, and they go, hey, Packer fan! And you come over and have a beer. And, you know, unlike Philadelphia, where if you walk through the parking lot with a Packer jersey on, you get beer thrown on you. So, I mean, I just don't even wear my stuff in Philadelphia anymore because it's just, in fact, I don't even go to Philadelphia anymore because the fans are just so rude. But, I mean, so Pittsburgh's got the same kind of atmosphere, especially on the road. You know, Packer fans travel well. In fact, I went to Denver one year, and I went to a college hockey game on a Saturday. I went to a World Series game. On a Friday. I went to a World Series game on a Saturday, and then a Colorado Avalanche game on a Sunday with the intention of seeing the Packers play the Broncos on Monday Night Football, and I could not find a ticket. I usually buy my tickets on the street from scalpers because I usually get better seats and cheaper seats, but there were so many Packer fans out there. There are 20,000 Packer fans out there that I couldn't. Everybody says, oh, Denver's got great fans. They may, but there were 20,000 Packer fans out there that I couldn't even find a ticket on the street for available to buy, and that's why that's one of the four stadiums I still have not been to, is Denver. And But Pittsburgh fans are the same way. If you go to an Atlanta game in Atlanta and it's against the Steelers, half the crowd is going to be Steelers fans. But to answer your question, the environment in Lambeau is unmatched, I believe. But, again, I'm seeing that as a biased, you know, Packer fan.
You talked about the fans in Philadelphia, which I heard they used to have. You actually have a jail underneath the stadium.
Yeah, and the funny thing is people always think about the jail and the booing of Santa Claus, but it's so much worse than that. One year I went to a Packer weekend, and I went to an Army-Navy game on Saturday. I went to a minor league hockey game on Sunday with the intention of going to the Packer-Eagle game on Sunday. And I took so much, you know, crap at the Army-Navy game with my Packer jacket that the next day I just, you know, I had already been to Philadelphia and had gone through that before. And the next day I just went incognito, which I've never done before. I just went in with a plain black coat because I didn't want to have to deal with beer being thrown on me and spit on me and fights, and that's what happens in Philadelphia. And, you know, you tell a Philadelphia fan that, they go, yep, that's us. They're actually kind of proud of the fact that they're, I guess they say, tough maybe, but to the other fans, You know, they're just jerks, and it's just if there's no second place as far as where's the worst place to go to a game. The first is Philadelphia, and you know, like people say Oakland. You know, I went to the Oakland game the year that that Monday night game when Brett's dad died, and so maybe that's why the fans are a little more mellow. But the worst thing that happened to me is I was driving to, walking to the parking lot, was at a Far Jersey on, and some Raider fans were drinking. They went, "Oh, Packers suck," you know, and I said something about like, "Oh, we'll see you in the playoffs." "Oh, wait a minute, you're not going to be in the playoffs," and they just. Yeah, but they laughed about it. You know, if I would have said that in Philadelphia, I wouldn't have got out of Philadelphia. But, you know, everybody says Oakland's so bad. And maybe, you know, I think you can run into bad fans in any stadium. It's just that every time you go to Philadelphia, there's bad fans. Not so much in college ball there. You know, I still need to do some of the college teams up there. I've been to Penn for football at the old Franklin Field and then at the Plester for basketball. And I've gone to Temple and I've gone to, last year I went to St. Joe's for a game and hit a hockey game at night. But to answer your question, Philadelphia is as bad as it gets, and Green Bay and Pittsburgh are as good as it gets, you know, as far as fan support and fan welcoming the other teams. And I've heard that about Notre Dame. I've never been to Notre Dame, but I've always heard that Notre Dame is supposedly in college the most welcoming support staff, everything is to other teams. Now, like I say, I've yet to be there, but I'll get there one of these days, probably when the Packers play the Colts, it could be 4 years from now. They play them this year, but it's at Lambeau, so they won't play in Indianapolis now for 4 years. So, maybe I'll make a doubleheader out of it and see Notre Dame and the Colts in the same weekend. Because I usually try to do that. When I went to Packers, for instance, I went to see the Packers in Buffalo. I'd go up Friday night and see a Toronto Raptors game, and then Saturday afternoon see a college game, University of Buffalo, and then Saturday night see a Sabres game, and then Sunday see the Packers. I'll try to see as many games as I can in one weekend as long as I'm flying to that city. And I could give you tons of examples of that where I've knocked off, you know, 4 or 5 games in, you know, 3 or 4 days. So it's just... as long as I'm going all the way out there. A good example is L.A. I went to all the NBA arenas except for L.A. So this year I tried to find a weekend on both the Clippers and Lakers are both home. And back in January I went on Thursday night and saw UCLA play. Friday I saw the Lakers, and then Saturday afternoon I saw the Kings hockey. And I parked my car halfway in between the Staples Center and USC's arena. So after the Kings hockey game, which started at 1, got over at 3:30, I ran down to the USC and dropped my stuff from the Kings game off of my car and went to the USC basketball game. And that was at 4:30, got over at 6:30, and on my way back from the USC game, I ran back to the Staples Center and saw the Clippers play. So I was able to see, you know, 5 games in 3 days and then fly home, you know. So I'll try to make it where I can see more than one game when I'm flying somewhere for a weekend.
Oh, man. As I told everyone, as I promoted this all week and I said at the start of the show, we have tonight North America's greatest sports fan, Mark Chesna. We're going to take a little break here, Mark. We'll be right back. We've got some wonderful PSAs. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Pat Green. The blood supply is at critically low levels, and you can help. Call the American Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. That's 1-800-GIVE-LIFE to schedule your appointment to donate blood. Your donation is critical because every 2 seconds someone in America needs blood. That's accident victims, surgical candidates, and cancer patients, just to name a few. Please donate blood and encourage your friends, family, and neighbors to give too. Please call the American Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE or visit givelife.org to make your appointment. Thank you.
Take me fishing and show me how to drive the boat.
Take me fishing so I can tell you what a great dad you've been.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because I miss my boy.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community,
and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Duty, freedom, country, family. They're the values that make America strong and what our armed forces are fighting to defend.
While many talk about these ideals without action, they are just empty words.
If you think America's military families deserve more, log on to thanksusa.org. It's a great way to thank our troops and give military families the gift of education.
Thanksusa.org. Scholarships for America's military families. You can make a difference.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Good evening, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on International Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we have North America's greatest sports fan, Mark Chesna. He's also with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He'll be back with us in just moments. It's already been pretty phenomenal. We want to remind everybody, the underwriters that keep Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio, we want you cottages way up in western New York. Chautauqua Lake, almost said Lake Chautauqua, that would have been wrong. Chautauqua Lake is the spot that we want you cottages, fabulous resort. Also, they have a very exciting iKids Fishing website where youngsters can download the picture of that big whopper they just caught and compare it to young anglers all across the country. That's wewanchu.com. Wewantchu.com. Also, if you want to plan a trip up there, I know they live up there in the Arctic, and the winter will be setting in here soon, but there's still time to book a cottage and go fishing up there for the big northerns and smallmouth and so forth. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. Man, it's God's country. In fact, next week on the show, Michael Hodges will be here, and we'll be talking about his mountaineering adventures up there in the beautiful Rocky Mountain National Park. If you are planning a vacation, a weekend trip, and folks, do not be afraid to go there in the winter. You have the place to yourself, and it's absolutely spectacular. Here's their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com, and their 800 number, 1-800-835-8439. Also want to thank Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. 171,000 acres of water, 450 miles of shoreline. It's a fisherman's paradise. Here's that 800 number, 1-800-227-8510. Also want to remind everybody, check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife education work that we do, also our wildlife rescue. You can also contribute and help our work. It's always appreciated. And I also want to remind everybody, I have another program. It's on Radio Mom. It's also simulcast over the Internet at radiomom.com. It's every Sunday, 12 to 7, and it's called The 70s on Sunday with Larry Batson, the Animal Guy. I wonder how they come up with that name. Tonight, our guest, all the way from West Virginia, Mark Chesna's here, North America's greatest sports fan. So, Mark, I've got all these NFL games. I have a big sheet in front of me with the games coming up. Do you ever pick the games?
When I was in college, I would had a bookie friend of mine, but I would bet one game a week. I would take the game I was the most sure of, and you know, put some money on it back in college. So I mean, I go through every game and everybody has picks a winner, but as far as what I've ever done is picked one game a week and one. I always don't bet. I would never bet with the Packers because you can't bet with your heart. But so yeah, I pick them, but not anything for anything official.
Yeah. Well, let's go through them here. We'll see what you think. I know you've been probably watching the preseason, which absolutely means nothing. But it looks like, as you know, the first weekend is the Vikings against the Saints. It looks like the Saints are favored. I picked the Vikings on this one.
Well, I would, if I was picking with my heart, I'd pick the Vikings because of Brett. But I think if I was picking with my brain, I'd pick the Saints because they are the Super Bowl champion, and that's one of the loudest stadiums to go to a game in because it is a dome, and it's the fans are nuts there too. I probably should have mentioned that. But if I had to bet on it with money, I'd put New Orleans on the bet, but I'm hoping I would pick Minnesota because of Favre. If I want Favre to get in as many wins as possible. I know eventually that Manning's probably going to catch him in all his records, but I want him to play as long as he can and push those records as far up as he can to hold him, you know, ahead of Peyton. So I would pick Minnesota out of my heart, but if I was a betting man, I'd probably pick New Orleans.
Well, so do you think this will be Brett's last season, or do you think he'll...
I think this is it, especially with what they're talking about, possibly a strike next year. I mean, I think he wanted to play 20 years, and I think what brought him back this year is he was one step away. And everybody criticized him for all the drama. But the one thing I always say in his defense, and I know I defend him a lot, is some of the times ESPN's got a habit of over-dramatizing things. Like, and Barry Bonds is a perfect example. Now, I can't stand Barry Bonds, and I love Brett Favre. So it's a different comparison. But when Barry Bonds is going through this thing, they had Jeremy Schapp assigned to ESPN announcer. Every day they would lead off SportsCenter with a Barry Bonds report. And even if there was nothing to report, Jeremy Schapp would come on and say, well, there's nothing new here. And people got sick of the Barry Bonds story because ESPN kept pushing on us. And I think the Favre thing happened the same way. I mean, you know, every day they'd come on with something, and it wasn't Favre saying this, Favre saying that. It was just the announcers. But I do, to answer your question, I think this is it. You know, I think he's getting older. I think, you know, he was really waiting to see if his ankle was healthy. I got a friend of mine up in Minnesota who who's got a friend of his that went golfing with Favre, who actually said, you know, I don't know, my ankle just doesn't feel right. But that's why it was really the holdup. People say, you don't want to go to training camp. Well, you know, he's 47 years old. It's not going to help him to go to training camp and get banged up, you know. But I actually do think it is his last season. And I'm sorry to see that, but especially if there is a strike next year, he won't come back the year after that. So.
Well, 20 years is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Right, and that's what he said he was shooting for, was 20, and this would be 20 this year. So that's why I kind of got a gut feeling this is going to be it.
Yeah.
He won't answer my calls. I mean, I'm just, you know.
He won't. He doesn't answer your calls.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
He knew you would. Hey, the Dolphins and the Bills. I think that's a pretty easy one to pick with the Bills. I don't even think they're rebuilding. I think they're just kind of wallowing down there. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's, you know, usually when I don't know, I'll pick the home team, but in this case, I would go with Miami.
Absolutely. Now, here was a toughie for me because I don't know, but the Raiders and the Tennessee Titans. It looks like Tennessee.
I think Tennessee. Whenever I don't know, I'll pick the home team, but I just think Oakland's struggling and trying to get Jason Campbell ingrained in their offense, and he's been a little bit hurt. And Tennessee is just a good team. You know, they got Vince Young, and he's healthy, and they've got Chris Johnson, who's probably definitely one of the two best running backs in football, if not the best, him and Adrian Peterson. And Chris Peterson, this guy doesn't fumble, so especially being at home, that's to me is one of the easier ones. I would pick Tennessee.
We've got the evil New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. I like to call him Bill Belichick. And the Cincinnati Bengals playing. I think the Patriots will pretty much mop them up.
I agree. I think the Bengals are going to end up sometime during the season having the drama with the TO always brings with them. May not be week one, but I think New England is too tough to beat, especially, again, New England's home. So that's the advantage. That's always worth, you know, a few points there.
Absolutely. Looks like the Giants are going to open up the season with the Carolina Panthers, and the Giants are heavily favored. I guess so. Eli will be back.
Right, and also it's the first game in the new stadium, the first official game. And I think the Giants, again, we're picking the home team so far, but that just seems to be the right way to go, except for the Vikings, I guess. That's only, or Miami was the only away team we picked, I suppose, so far. But yeah, I agree with the Giants as well.
When's your, when have you haven't been to the new stadium yet, correct?
But no, it hasn't opened yet. There's four in the NFL I have not been to. One is at Denver when I went out there and couldn't get a ticket. And the other three are the three newest, Dallas, Indianapolis, and the Giants. And I'm going to go to the Giants for the Monday night game when Brett's up there in October. But it's a little bit different. Like, I've been to all the Major League Baseball stadiums, and I've been to all the NBA stadiums. Yeah, but I'm a little more picky when I go to NFL games because I want to see the Packers play Lord Favre. So, like, the Packers are playing the Colts this year, but it's in Green Bay, so it's going to be four more years till they come to Lucas Oil Field. And I might come there maybe on a Packer bye week or something. But I'm pretty much, you know, relegated to watch the Packers and Favre as long as he's playing. So I won't go to, like a Colts game unless it's a Monday night game. Or I'd like to see the Colts stadium, but it's going to be four more years till the Packers and Vikings both play there. And by then, Favre will be gone, so I would probably come for the Packers. But that is one of the stadiums I've not been to, the Giants, because it hasn't opened yet. But that's one I plan on going to this year.
Well, I live here.
I think it's 11.
Yeah, I live here and haven't been there yet. But I live here and haven't been there yet, which is absolutely...
Oh, yeah. Is it a tough ticket?
No, it's... I find the best ticket for me is in front of the 48-inch television. But I know that the atmosphere and it's nothing... It's like racing, I assume. It's nothing like seeing it in person.
Well, it's funny you mention racing because I live near in Atlanta. I live probably 15 minutes from the NASCAR track, and we just moved 3 years ago, and in our first house, I could literally hear the race going around from the inside of our house. That's how close I was to the track, and I've never been to a NASCAR race. In 2,300-some sporting events, I've never been to one. I'm sure that some year I'll probably go to one, but I need to go when someone that's a racing fan comes down and wants to go along. It's just one of those things. I go to a lot of games by myself because I have no problem with just getting on a plane and, you know, flying to a city and going to the game and spending a night in the airport and then flying back the next early morning flight. But a race is something that I would probably need to go with someone that knows what's going on because it's like Australian rules football. I went to Australia a couple times, and the first time I went to an Australian rules football game in Sydney, the Sydney Swan, and I went with another American friend of mine who was over there in the Navy, and I had no idea what was going on. It looked like rugby to me. Well, this year we went to Australia, another friend of mine and I, we'd met some people in the Galapagos Islands. They lived in Melbourne. So we went to a game this year in Melbourne, and the people that we went with were total, you know, diehard fans. So they were able to understand and tell me every rule about the game. So it was a little more interesting. But like racing, I would want to go with somebody that's into it that might be able to point out a few things that I'm not really seeing. Because otherwise, to me, it's just a bunch of cars going around the track and waiting for a crash to happen.
Right. So. Well, I would not recommend the Brickyard 400 because it's a taxi cab parade, is what I call it. But if I was going to go see it in person, I still think Talladega or Daytona or Bristol.
Yeah, and I've got a friend that went to Daytona and loved it down there. And I guess that's – I've taken a tour of the Daytona track, you know, when you can go around in the car. I was on there for, I believe, a Daytona Cubs minor league baseball game was probably what I was there for. And I took and I also did a tour of the Indy track when I was there for the Final Four a few years back when the year that George Mason went to the Final Four. I was on Indianapolis while we were there. We toured the Indy track. So it's something I wouldn't mind doing sometimes, Indy 500, but it's not real high on the priority list as far as going, especially I need someone to go with that wants to go. I guess that someone knows what's going on.
I'll tell you, Mark, if you've ever been to that race, it will be on the high priority list because it's absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. We've
so
got,
you can hook me up a ticket sent for next year, huh?
Well, we can do that. We can figure out something. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doable.
Steelers and Falcons, their first game of the season. I think the Steelers are pretty much the heavy favorite. Though it looks like, according to the piece of information I'm looking at, it's about dead even with Atlanta and Pittsburgh.
Larry, we're back on the air.
You know, I figured this out. Mark, are you there?
I'm getting Mark on the line.
Mark back on. Apologize to our listeners, but I've just figured it out. We had, apparently this line has been infiltrated by Philadelphia Eagle fans. So, no, it's just Blog Talk Radio. There's the science that is that, as we spread this word around the world. Dr. Day, are you there? Well, I'm here by myself. Well, let's go through the rest of this NFL season here. Well, I have my listeners attentive. Landon Pittsburgh, it's a dead even heat there. I picked the Steelers. They're at home, so I don't think that's going to be much of a contest, if you want to know the truth. Tampa Bay and Cleveland. Wow. Well, it's a home game for the Buccaneers, so looks like the Buccaneers will be over those Brownies. We'll see what happens. Denver and Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville's at home, but I think my vote would go for the Broncos in the opening weekend. Of course, the Colts and the Houston Texans, and, of course, we are from Indiana, and big fans of those Colts and Peyton Manning and the rest of the boys. So,
Hello.
I figured
I'm
it out.
I'm not sure what happened, Larry. All of a sudden, it just went blank.
It was evil Philadelphia Eagle fans.
It was Eagle fans, yeah, that's what I thought. And that's what they'll do to us, you know, I'm telling you. I've always said if our nuclear enemies are overseas planning an attack on Washington, D.C. with the intention of blowing up the Capitol and the White House and the Pentagon, I hope that their calculations are about 90 miles off and they blow up Philadelphia, there'll be no loss except for the Liberty Bell, and that's already cracked, so I'm just kidding. But,
yeah, that's right. I picked a few of these games. I took the liberty and picked a few games while we were setting up our communication lines again. I think the Colts are going to beat those Texans, even though the Texans are at home. I don't, I've got to go with them Colts.
I agree, and I think it's just a matter of time, though, before Houston. Matt Schwab's a good quarterback, but, you know, he's not Peyton Manning yet, and I think the Colts are probably going to be the favorites all year long. But there's going to be a time. And I think when Houston's going to at least beat them one out of two times a season here and there, because Houston's an improving team, but they're not going to beat them opening day. I agree with you.
We got the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions, and I think the Lions are rebuilding. They still have a lot of rebuilding to do to beat the Bears at home.
Right, it's at Chicago, and I believe the Bears will win, but I'm looking forward to seeing Detroit this year. I'm actually going to see Detroit play at Minnesota because Matthew Stafford, their quarterback, is a guy that I saw play at Georgia, and the big defensive lineman from Nebraska, I'm excited to see, and they got also Calvin Johnson, the guy from Georgia Tech, is an awesome receiver, so I'm looking forward to seeing him play. I saw him play in college, but never in the pros, but I agree, I think Chicago, especially at home, is not going to lose to a team like Detroit.
Now, we got the Niners against their West Coast adversary, the Seattle Seahawks, and it's at the Seahawks.
That's probably the toughest game to pick. Seattle's one of those stadiums that isn't, like I was saying before, all corporate and skybox. Seattle's probably the second nicest stadium that I've been to in the NFL. Again, I'm biased to Lambeau, but it's a great stadium, and their fans are very supportive. But there's something about Alex Smith, you know, the quarterback for the 49ers, and with Westbrook, I just got a feeling that the 49ers are going to win the division this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Seattle. It's one of those games I wouldn't be surprised either way. I would probably... You know, Seattle, when I don't know, I pick the home team. But I would got a gut feeling on San Francisco this year, as overall this season. And I might see them in Lambeau Field in December. That's the second Lambeau game I might go to. You had mentioned other games, but I'd forgotten to mention that one.
We got those Green Bay Packers and the Eagles at Philadelphia, but I think the Packers...
No contest.
No contest.
Yeah, no contest. I mean, it's... My favorite team in sports versus my least favorite team in sports. I mean, it's got to be, again, I wouldn't bet with money on that one because I can never bet my heart. And I've always gone, the two or three times I've gone to Philadelphia to watch the Packers play, they've always lost. And I'm not going this year because I just don't want to deal with those fans. But I would still have to pick the Packers. I think, you know, Rodgers is tough and their defense is tough. They're missing Al Harris, I guess, for a little bit of time, if not. But I still would pick the Packers.
The Arizona Cardinals and the old St. Louis Cardinals, St. Louis Rams. At St. Louis, but even with the new St. Louis, though I picked them for that game. I don't know why.
You picked St. Louis?
Yes, I don't know why. Yes, I did.
Well, Arizona's having some quarterback issues. I mean, they're counting on Matt Leinart to be the starter, and now it looks like Derek Anderson's going to start the season. So and they've lost, you know, they got the Fitzgerald still, who I think is probably the best receiver in football, but they lost Anquan Boldin. So both teams are kind of in a rebuilding stage with Warner leaving, and St. Louis has a great quarterback from Nebraska. Yeah, I can't remember
right.
his name. St. Louis, kind of a mental block, but I'd probably go with Arizona if I had to make an educated guess on that one.
And we've got, now this, I thought this would be a tough one, too. The Ravens and the Jets, at the Jets.
I think the Ravens are the AFC team to beat this year. I'm reading, they got the defense. It depends on, of course, the quarterback. He had a great rookie season, and last year he was kind of so-so. I think had a lot of sophomore slump. A lot of quarterbacks do that. Matt Ryan did the same thing for the Falcons. Joe Flacco, I think he's going to do well for them this year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Ravens beat the Jets at the new stadium.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm kind of hoping that the Jets kind of have a bad season, because if I have to go up there and get a scalper's ticket, the worse they're playing, the easier it is to get a ticket.
There you go.
Because I get most of my tickets on the street, you know, and it's easy
right.
in the cities that I live in, like Atlanta and Washington, Baltimore. I know the scalpers. I don't have to play the little game. I've already played it with enough that they know I'm only going to pay, you know, $20 for an Orioles box seat. But when I go to a new city, I got to start all over again. And I might have a connection for tickets, but... like I say, I'm hoping the Jets lose. And Sanchez, I think, is due to have that sophomore slump that we were talking about with Flacco and Ryan.
Yeah, I think you're right, absolutely. Chargers and the Chiefs, I don't think that's going to be a contest, even though it is at Kansas City.
You're saying San Diego?
Yep.
I'm
thinking
yeah,
San
I agree
Diego.
There, too. Yeah,
then,
I agree with you there. You left out Dallas and Washington, unless that's one you picked when I was going.
What did
you pick for that one?
I want Washington to win.
I want Washington, but McNabb, they don't even know he's going to play the first game. At least that's what they're saying out here. I would pick Dallas if I had to put my money on it, but I'm going to be rooting for Washington. The Dallas is another one of those teams that, like America, if you're not a Dallas fan, you either love them or you hate them, and I don't like the Cowboys. The only time I ever root for the Cowboys is when they're playing the Eagles.
Oh, I know. It's like, yeah, right. Anytime, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you entirely. We're on the same page on that. Mark, it's been fantastic. I'm sorry we got knocked off the air for about 5 minutes, but, man,
it's been fun, Larry.
It's been a blast.
It's been fun.
It's absolutely. We're going to have you back on again, if you don't mind. I think what we should do is plan. Are you going to the Super Bowl this year?
I doubt it. I've only been to one Super Bowl. That's really kind of out of my league range-wise, but I got a job selling beer at the Falcons game 1 year, and then I was able to go to the Super Bowl as a vendor. And, you know, I made very little money, but I didn't care because I was in the Super Bowl for free. The funniest part of that story was I was walking around looking for a ticket stub so I could have one, and I found a drunk guy that had dropped his under his seat, so I, quote, accidentally dropped all my change. Looked like an idiot. When I picked up my change, I also picked up that ticket stub, so I was able to have a ticket stub from the Super Bowl that I was actually working at as a vendor. I don't know if I'd ever go again because it is so expensive, but
right.
at least I got there once. So.
Well, it's been fantastic. And let's do it right before the Super Bowl, if you don't mind. We'll have you
back
anytime,
on. Okay, anytime, Larry. Just give me a heads up, and
absolutely.
I'll be here for you.
Mark,
next time you're out at NCTC?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Next time you're out at NCTC, you can come on down and look me up. You know where my office is.
Oh, yeah. I know where to find you. Absolutely. You're in the audio-video department. We want to thank Mark Chesnes for being on tonight. We also want to thank Dr. Henry Day and the Wild World News. Next week on the program, Mike Hodges from Rocky Mountain National Park. We're going to hear about some of his mountaineering adventures and also his fantastic resort that he has right on the edges of Rocky Mountain National Park, God's Country. This is Larry Batson. You've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.